Welcome to You Don't Even Like This Band, a podcast about bands you probably don't even like.
We hope you don't know this one.
With your hosts, Adam Todd Brown, Andy Sell, and Travis Clark.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to You Don't Even Like This Band, the Fleetwood Mac season, the second Fleetwood Mac season. I'm Adam Todd Brown.
I'm Travis Tango in the afternoon, Clark.
I'm Andy Night Delight Cell.
Ooh. Oh, Night Delight.
Yeah, I don't know. That just came to me, and I think I like it. I think I'm going to stick with it. Night Delight?
Yeah, it's not bad. Sticking. Yeah.
I like it a whole lot. Hey, we're doing another listening party episode, because here's the thing. We could keep talking about Tusk forever, but we're just going to jump ahead a little bit.
Yeah, we're doing sort of like in Breaking Bad or one of those prestige TV shows where they like open it with like something that happens 6 months in the future. And then they're, nope.
Yeah.
We'll come back. This is the 6 months in the future thing.
Yeah, this is an episode of Prestige Podcast, I guess. And yeah. We're jumping ahead to the Tango in the Night album. Because here's the thing. There's a couple albums in between Tusk and Tango in the Night. There's the live album. We already talked about that a little bit. There is also Mirage. It's not a bad album. It came out in, I think, 82, either 82 or 84. It's not a bad album, but it's clearly, and they have admitted as much in the years since, it's clearly them trying to do Rumors again. And that stuff never works.
Yeah.
Aptly named, because you can kind of just like, you think it's there and then you can just drive right by it. Yeah. Like it's not, you don't need to stop.
Yeah. You get up to it and you're like, oh, this is actually not the Oasis I thought it was.
And that's not to say it doesn't have songs. It's got some tunes. Hold Me is one of Fleetwood Mac's best songs, I would argue. And here's the thing. That's about it. Well, now it's got Gypsy on it. That's a classic Stevie Nicks tune. But yeah, in terms of like really recognizable songs, there's not a whole lot happening on Mirage. Eyes of the World is on it, but that's like you have to have seen them in concert a few times to give a shit about that song. Because they play it in concert all the time, but no one ever talks about that song.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're skipping Mirage. It's not that good. It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
And it's a C paper written by an A student, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like if anybody else had put it out, you'd probably be like, yeah, right. It's pretty good. But it's an Fleetwood
A report
Mac.
On the sea, right? Is that what you're saying? It's like a report about the ocean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
So we're skipping ahead to Tango in the Night, which Tango in the Night, on the other hand, great album.
Yeah.
This is secretly a lot of people's actual favorite Fleetwood
Isn't
Mac
it yours?
Album.
It's my favorite it's Fleetwood Mac album, and I'm not keeping it a secret anymore. I want the world to know.
I still think Tusk is my favorite, but this is up there. Tango in the Night's pretty great.
It's the most cohesive record they put out during this post-Rumors time.
Which is insane, because we're just listening to it today, but as we get into the recording of this album, this is, we've mentioned it before. This is the one where Lindsey Buckingham basically put an RV in front of his house. They recorded the album at his house, but the band members would have to wait in the RV until it was their turn to come in. Like that's how well the band was getting along by that
point. I also read that RV was kind of a Mick Fleetwood post cocaine calm down chamber. Like he'd get so wasted that's where he had to like recover.
Yeah. I imagine that's probably true.
Can you imagine just somebody freaking out in your kitchen? You're like, ah, get him to the RV.
I feel like that's when you get one of those steel shipping containers and you're like, we got to put this 9 foot tall coked out man in something to make sure he's
they need a team of guards armed with tasers like in Jurassic Park.
Exactly. That's what I'm picturing.
This is also probably Stevie Nicks' lowest point when it comes to drug abuse. She was in such a state recording this album that a lot of her vocals are pieced together from multiple different takes. Like Lindsey Buckingham could not get her to sing one good take all the way through because she was just fucked up all the time.
Well, there's a song on here that I thought was maybe a joke about Sarah Barr here. And I read the story behind Welcome to the Room, Sarah. And it's pretty dark.
Yeah, it's pretty grim.
This whole album is real dark.
It is. Which is weird because it's got such a like soft Muzak kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, it's a really poppy, like it sounds like the 80s, you know? It's a record that is like more than I think most records just like, oh yeah, that's the 80s. That's like the synth, the production, the poppiness of it, but also then there's a lot of like weird dark industrial shit kind of going on.
Yeah.
With some of the production and percussion especially, and then like the lyrics are all fucking like with exception, obviously, but yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the track list. They came out swinging. First three songs, Big Love, Seven Wonders, Everywhere.
Like, yeah.
That is three of Fleetwood Mac's best songs, just back to back to back.
Should we? Six singles on this record.
Oh, yeah.
And half of the songs.
And six singles, too, huh?
Yeah, they're pretty sick.
Sick, bro. Should we dive in?
Somebody call a song doctor because these singles are sick.
Boom. Yeah, let's jump into this tango. Let's do this dance.
Here we go. This is Big Love. Oh, there it is. Can everyone hear that?
Oh, yeah.
This is such a great song. Yeah. And Lindsey Buckingham, all of the times I've seen Fleetwood Mac live, he actually plays this solo acoustic. And it sounds like there are three fucking people playing guitar when he plays it. It is astonishing.
I mean, we've talked about this before. Like, Lindsey Buckingham does the work of at least two other musicians. Because every time he leaves, it takes at least two other people to replace him.
Yeah. And this is the album where he left, like right before the tour starts to support this album. He was like, nope, can't do it. I'm leaving. And I feel like once we dive into like what kind of state the band was in at the time, it's probably going to make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That he left.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is the last Fleetwood Mac album with this lineup. You know, this is the end of this era.
Yeah.
And it never comes back for a full album, right? They do live performances, but they never studio do an album again, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Christine McVie's just not really on Say You Will. Like she plays on it a little bit, but she doesn't have any songs. Which is weird.
I love the fucking they sound like they're getting hit in a video game.
Hayuken!
Shoryuken!
This song makes me feel like I could have played drums in Fleetwood Mac.
This song makes me feel like I could do anything. I remember the cocaine of songs.
Boy, whenever Andy listens to this song, he just talks a lot.
Let's start a business together.
Jesus. Yeah, Mick Fleetwood is really just kind of, I won't say phoning it in, but he's snorting it in. Like, he's just like, you know.
But I wonder if that's what Lindsey Buckingham wanted. Probably. Like, it's not like he's shy about that stuff.
And this record started as a Buckingham solo album, right?
Like,
Oh, did it?
Yeah. So he's all over it.
Yeah, I do want to cover some of the solo albums at some point. Like, I brought up the song Go Insane on a recent episode, and neither of you had ever heard it. You still
haven't? No, haven't heard it.
I guarantee you have. I've
heard literally none of the solo stuff except for stuff we've listened to for it.
I feel like when you hear it, you will actually recognize it. It's one of those songs.
I thought you were going to say you will actually go insane.
It's what he's got a couple songs like that. He's also got a song called Trouble. That probably doesn't ring a bell when you hear the name, but you have heard Trouble and Go Insane both about 1,000 times in your life. I guarantee it.
I'm curious. Yeah.
I had an ex who was super duper into Fleetwood Mac, and she didn't know Trouble was a Lindsey Buckingham song for like years and years and years. All right. I do want to take a little side quest here and play the live version of Big Love from the live album The Dance, which was probably the only good thing to come out of the Clinton administration. I would argue was probably The Dance.
You have to also keep in mind that Don't Stop Believin' was Clinton's 93 slogan, and it made them get together again because
that's what I mean, Travis.
I know, but The Dance is like 97. It's like 4 years later.
Yeah, they did. It took them a while to just be like, hey, let's go play a show in Burbank.
Nothing wrong with that, man.
All right. So this
Burbank
is
Burbank Comedy Festival featuring Fleetwood Mac.
So this is what Big Love sounded like when Fleetwood Mac would play it live. It's just Lindsey Buckingham on his weird ass nylon string guitar, fucking shredding.
And he does this the whole time? He doesn't like loop it?
No.
Oh, fuck.
Like, I listen to this shit.
Yeah.
It sounds like there are multiple people. There's like a bass line happening.
Yeah.
Good That's Lord. Insane. What?
It's the fact that he's singing on top of it that's just the extra middle finger to anybody who tries to play an instrument. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
that was Lindsey Buckingham's plan the whole time, was to just create art that would be a statement of like hatred towards anyone trying to play music.
Yeah. Like, this song is why Lindsey Buckingham is probably my favorite guitar player. Like, listen to this shit. He's fucking playing the rhythm part and the solo at the same time.
That's always crazy, when there's an artist that can...
Like, people at home might not have heard it, but you can hear the crowd, like, going nuts at one point.
Yeah, the crowd's like... There they go. Yeah. I wake up alone with it all. I wake up. Did the rest of the band just kind of go, fuck it, we can't top this, so just let Lindsey do it? Like,
they would, every show, there would be one of these moments. Usually after Landslide, like the band would leave and it would just be Stevie and Lindsey during Landslide.
Man.
And then she would leave and he would do this shit for like 20 minutes. Because on the full version of The Dance, he also plays Go Insane this same way. Like, just him and a guitar, and it's crazy. I like this part.
And he's even doing the video game noises.
Yeah.
This is like... There's like a Cante Hondo influence here. This is like...
Whoa. Don't use that language.
Read about the concept of Duende and how like Lorca defined it. That's this fucking song. It's crazy.
Yeah, that song is nuts. All right, so we have that to look forward to someday. Until then, song number 2, Seven Wonders. This is an undeniable banger from Stevie Nicks. This is probably top 5 among her songs, I would think, maybe.
And like Andy was saying earlier, we got that, like, this is, in case you didn't know it was in the 80s, here's that synth, just to make sure you know the time frame we're in here.
I think Fleetwood Mac used the synthesizer a little more tastefully than most bands.
Oh,
they,
sure.
They did. And, you know, especially the Buckingham songs on here, it's not like... I don't know if tasteful is the word I would use, but it's used for like texture, you know?
I like how you can tell that that's like eight different Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, you can. So, it's dude.
That's so cool.
It is. It's.
And that's the thing with Fleetwood Mac. It's those little fucking touches like that other bands just didn't pay attention to in the same way.
But I was reading that they did something really weird on this album, which is part of the
course. I'm sorry, what?
A pound and a half of cocaine?
In addition to that, they recorded everything at halftime and then sped it up.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's why it has this like weird kind of harmonic, not like Chipmunky, but like everyone sounds like a little different, you know?
And like, how do you even think to do that? Like
The pound of cocaine.
Yeah.
Because I've had a pound and a half of cocaine in front of me this whole time, and I'm like, what do I do with this?
And you're talking so slow. And I could just be snorting. Yeah. But we'll speed it up later, and it will sound.
Go find yourself a nylon string guitar and a percussion vest and a Stevie Nicks.
This is not a short song, I'll tell you that much.
There's not a lot of short songs on this, right? They're all pretty lengthy.
I mean, I was, again, as like somebody who listens to a lot of metal and a lot of jazz, I was looking at the times and I was like, oh, these are all pretty short songs.
Yeah, I suppose in that way. I do think that's why I don't listen to more metal. It's like, man, give me the radio edit for fuck's sake.
I don't know. I guess I listen to a lot of hardcore and grindcore too, and those are short as fuck.
Yeah, you're like, damn, dude, 90 seconds? What are you guys making, a double album?
Did I tell you? One time I saw the Locust live, and somebody yelled out during their set, "Play a short one!" And the guy lost his mind, was so pissed off. Fuck you piece of shit!
Yeah, you know, I would not know that this was like something you had to piece together from multiple takes from a lady who was like just not having the best time of her life.
Yeah, it really doesn't show that the band was in such a bad way.
Yeah, but it still it does have like a weird quality to it, just in general. Maybe that's it, like to hide the cuts that. All the piecing together they had to do, maybe that was the impetus behind like, well, if we put an otherworldly polish on the whole record by recording it at a different speed and then playing it back at a different speed, like maybe that'll cover up some of the seams. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh,
here we go.
Yeah.
I still argue that car commercial makes this song seem way more beloved than it is, but God damn it. It's still a banger.
Yeah. One of Christine Perfect's best songs.
I'd say
her best song.
For me, I think it's my favorite of hers.
Yeah, I think so. I love Lindsey's guitar playing on this. Like that. It's so fucking simple. Like he's just like barely playing guitar.
And again, another tasteful use of the synthesizer in the background to add like a choral effect to the, it's cool.
Yeah. Those harmonies at the end of the chorus, that's Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham. This is a perfect song.
Yeah, and it's a perfect, perfect song.
Yeah, yeah.
Double perfect. Because her name's Perfect.
Yeah, her name's Christine Perfect, everybody.
I don't know if you guys knew that.
They do
that. Be with you everywhere.
She means in the butt.
Oh, is that what this song's about?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, really?
I don't know.
No, it makes so much more sense now.
It's about her dog's butt.
Jesus Christ.
She's like, how do I tell John I'm willing to give it up now?
What do you think's going on there? Synthesizer?
Yeah. for sure. That or
no, that was just the sound that Mick Fleetwood's sinuses make.
Yeah, it was his percussion septum.
I think Lindsay had built a robot out of bells, and it just walked into the room.
Yeah, I was going to say he was just getting a phone call. Sounds good, guys.
It sounds good. Hold on, I got to take this.
It's like in a horror movie, that sound plays to let you know the harmonica killer is nearby.
Oh. What can you even say? I mean, we've said a bunch, but
yeah, I mean, it's yeah, it's the song that plays and you can't help but like think of fond things.
Yeah, yeah, this isn't a song that's gonna bum you out.
No.
It just also has almost that like, I don't know, it's a montage song, you know? It's like one of those.
A montage at a farm.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Hyper-specific. She's like, I want to write a song you listen to. Well, it's like a montage, but of a farm.
And then she falls asleep and sets herself on fire with her cigarette.
Yeah, and then she's like, I want to wish a happy birthday to the little bunny.
This next song. This is a Lindsey Buckingham cut. And yeah, this I think is one of the songs you're talking about where he really does use the synthesizer in a really interesting way.
Yeah.
Like he's basically throwing it against the wall.
Yeah.
And recording it on a boombox.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, there's drum programming on here. There's like it. This is the song that I listen to and I'm like, oh, Lindsey Buckingham was into industrial music in the early 80s. Like, he was listening to like KMFDM and Coil and Front 242.
I'm sure.
Meat Beat Manifesto, think he was into that?
He probably.
Yeah.
Maybe some Skinny Puppy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is a kind of underappreciated song in their catalog. I don't think they really played it live that much.
I fucking love this song so much.
It's a really good song. Like, they do. I know I said I wasn't going to say Prince's name, but this song especially, like, it reminds me of Prince in that you can tell it's the 80s. You can tell there's a lot of synthesizer stuff going on, but it doesn't sound dated. Like, if Lindsey Buckingham put this out today, I'd be like, cool. Yeah, that's a really great song. Makes sense.
Oh, dude, he's riding the retro wave. I dig it. Yeah. This does have almost a dark wave kind of vibe.
Yes, it definitely does. I mean, it's sort of like how on Tusk, Buckingham came with this like punk early punk influence of Talking Heads and shit. And I feel like on this album, he was like, he's moved on to like Throbbing Gristle and The Residents.
Yeah, he really did keep this band relevant.
Yeah.
Like, because again, starting around this point, I guess, is when, like, there is only one more Fleetwood Mac album after this. That's Say You Will, and that's one that started as a Lindsey Buckingham solo album also.
Yeah, he was the guy that was just constantly like, what's out there? What new shit can I do?
Yeah.
You know, the band's slowing me down. Which, again, total fucking asshole of a person, but
yeah,
I love this song.
Yeah, you should listen to some of his solo stuff, especially the Go Insane album has a lot of this. Like, Go Insane sounds like a Prince album.
Damn.
Do we know who Caroline is?
My grandmother. Oh, was her name?
Oh, it's yeah, probably the woman who wrote the book about him, right? Wasn't her name?
Oh,
Carol Ann was her name.
Yeah, from Poltergeist. Yeah, Carol Ann.
Yeah. Don't go into the light. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, she did go into the light, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yikes. Yeah.
What was that? What was that at the end? That was neat.
Yeah, right?
Title track.
Titular track.
And this again, is very much in the same vein as the last song.
Tracular Titch. I don't know.
Good old Tracula.
Yeah. Now, okay, is Tracula a vampire who is also a record producer, or a vampire who is a heroin addict, or a vampire in a tracksuit?
No, he's Dracula is the vampire who comes in and like drains you of your hit single.
Yeah. God damn. Yeah. So this is another Buckingham song. It has a lot of the same energy as Caroline. It comes right on the heels of it. And I feel like they have to go together. They feel very together to me.
Yeah.
And this song, God, this is, I think, my favorite song on the record.
Yeah, it's a really good song. And he's holding that note for a long time.
Yeah. And playing guitar while doing it, because that's just what he does. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder, there's got to be some live performances of this song out there. I would like
to. But it's probably him just filleting a microphone and screaming into it.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'd still check it out.
Oh, what a sounds like he's like inside a, I don't know, echo dome.
Yeah.
Is that him playing the harp?
Probably. Either that or some obscure South American instrument someone brought him that he retuned like a dick. There, fixed it for you.
Yeah.
Bam, bam, bam. I tell you who did not use the synthesizer well was Neil Young.
Man, he's got an album. No, he has no business.
He's got an album called Landing on Water that is, it is hilariously bad. The only time, like, Trans is kind of a cool album, though. That's one of the weirdest fucking albums ever made. Does everyone remember Trans?
No. God, it sounds like a fucking horror movie, this music.
Yeah.
I know. I was just going to say, is that the Happy Halloween, the Silver Shamrock that theme song in the middle? Yeah.
And then I'm just always a fan of this kind of guitar solo.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah.
An old, a real good walking in the rain with no umbrella guitar solo.
Oh, yeah. I love it in a music video when they're like, we're just going to get everybody and every instrument completely trashed because there's no way you could actually use an instrument in this amount of water.
Yeah, Neil Young has a song called Shots. And it's like
Shots, 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 Shots. That one?
It would be one of his best songs, but throughout the whole thing, someone is playing synthesizer gunshots.
Oh, no.
And it is the absolute corniest fucking thing in the history of music. Because otherwise, that song would be cool as shit.
It's like the version of Brain Stew with the Godzilla roaring. That's Neil Young with gunshots.
Is it him like doing like that MIA song where it's like they're trying to make that part of the song?
They're just, it's just random violence. It's not even like they just happen every.
It just sounds like somebody has a fucking commando on the TV in the room.
Or is it one of those like these are all the pre-programmed noises that were already on the synthesizer? So it's like, and then there's like an elephant, and then there's someone going DJ.
I like the idea that Neil Young, his whole life up to that point, was like, my songs are good, but I wish I could shoot some guns over them. And then one day he's like, Eureka.
That's no, my, that was my Neil Young, by the way. He just calls up Steve Earle.
Oh, hey, this is Mystified, by the way. This is a Christine Perfect tune. It is very good.
Yeah.
But you better be glad you got a synthesizer so I'm not on there shooting guns.
That's how you know I'm not at your house with my bag of guns. No, no, Steve, I want you to come over with your bag of guns.
This is a good song.
Terrible Neil Young voice.
This also, was pretty accurate.
This also feels a little bit like an intermission of sorts.
It does. It's, you know, we're back to the era of, like, you know, side one, side two of records. Yep. So it's like this is getting you ready that you're going to have to, like, get up and turn the record.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Get up, go get a snack. You're going to turn the record over. Fucking pack your bowl again.
Yeah, we get back to back Christine Perfect.
Yeah,
because coming up next also might be one of her best songs.
Yeah, yeah. This song that I remember, and it's the song that I remember hearing as a kid. Like, this album would have been, you know, the singles from this album would have been my first introduction to Fleetwood Mac, probably. Because I was 7 years old, I think, when this came out. So I would have.
Yeah. For me, it was MTV. Because they were, like, they were right at the right moment for MTV. Like, one of the first videos I remember, like, at all in general is Hold Me. If I'm not mistaken, it played after the premiere of Thriller.
Oh, shit.
Because I remember being like, what Michael Jackson song is this? And my sister was like, shut the fuck up, idiot. This is not a Michael Jackson song. There was one Michael Jackson song. This is Fleetwood Mac.
This is Fleetwood Mackle Johnson. Wow. I don't know what I just did.
Fleetwood Mackle Johnson.
I don't know what I did. I wanted to say Michael Jackson, and my brain went, that's not what's happening.
All right.
I like Mystified. That's a fun song.
It's a good song, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not really a bad song.
No, there's no bad song on this album.
This is Little Lies, everybody. Yeah, this was a swimming pool song for sure.
Yeah.
When I would go swimming as a kid, this would play.
I remember this being one of the songs, like, when we were moving, because this, I think, is the pretty sure 87 was the year we moved from New Jersey to Iowa. And I remember, like, the drive, hearing a handful of songs over and over again on radios, and one of them was George Harrison's I Got My Mind Set on You. Nice. Heard that a lot on that drive, and another one of them was this song, and I remember really being like, oh, this is great, I like this song.
Yeah, and you could do a lot worse than Got My Mind Set on You also.
Yeah,
that's a song I was kind of an asshole about for a long time. It's like, it's not one of his better songs. Bullshit. It's like fucking
it's great.
It's not his song, guys.
I know. It's a cover. All right. Who was the original by?
Rudy Clark?
No.
Well, I guess he should have done it better.
Yeah.
George Harrison owns that song now. Yeah, this is really good. I like how clearly you can hear each member on the chorus. Like, they're like almost doing anti-harmonies.
She wrote this with her husband, right?
John?
No, her husband at the time, Eddie Quinn
Murphy?
Eddie Murphy? Yeah, didn't he write it with Eddie Murphy?
Eddie from Iron Maiden?
Eddie from Iron Maiden.
Yeah, I don't know.
I will.
Yeah, can
see. I like that part.
Yep, wrote with her and her then husband.
That's right.
Yeah, which is really kind of fucked up if you're like, this is a married couple having an argument and they made a song.
This, it feels like you have, like, if you listen to this through headphones, it's like you have a little Stevie Nicks and a little Lindsey Buckingham on your shoulder. And one's talking
in
one ear.
Telling you to do the cocaine.
Yeah.
This era of Fleetwood Mac is really when Mick Fleetwood leaned into being the guy from Phantasm. Like, he just He's got that wide brim hat and like only wears black and white.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but the tall man in Phantasm doesn't wear a hat.
Doesn't
Travis?
He?
No.
He should. It would complete the aesthetic.
Yeah.
It would. Yeah.
They should reboot it just for that purpose. Just to put a hat on that motherfucker.
And put Mick Fleetwood in the lead role.
Yeah. What's he got going on now?
Nothing. His restaurant burned down.
That's so sad. I bet there was a ton of Fleetwood Mac shit in there, too.
There was a ton of Fleetwood Mac shit there. It was like a little gift shop when you walked in. And while you're waiting for your Fleetwood Mac and cheese and all of that stuff.
Was it burned down by a rival pirate ship?
Yes, along with the entire island of Maui.
I mean, that's pirates for you. They don't do anything subtly.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. His restaurant was in Hawaii, and that was the... Okay.
Yeah, you're being really insensitive.
I'm very sorry.
I don't know, Andy. I don't know how to square this with you.
This is a weird song. It's so weird. Like, is he? What the fuck does he mean he's a family man? What is he talking about?
It's sarcastic.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he was still an 80s fuck machine at this point in his life.
An abusive 80s fuck machine. Yeah.
Who are we talking about?
Richard Dashett.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
That part's a little corny. That has
I am what I am.
Did you know Richard
Dashett's
nickname was Dick Dash?
Right here.
Family man.
Is that Syphilis Bear?
Hi, everybody.
Dick Dash, is that like DoorDash when you need some dick?
Yeah, you call up to Dash It and he gives you a little Dick Dash.
And a doll with an eye missing. That's a Harmonica Killer cinematic universe reference.
Yeah.
See, I don't like this song until this guitar happens.
Yeah, the guitar solo is nice. But yeah, this is one of the weaker songs on the album for sure.
Can blame Dick Dash.
I really hate that
family man. Family. Hey, Andy, do you want to be a family man?
Here it comes.
So the instinct there is the same as him barking on Holiday Road, right? Like,
yeah, but it's like every home run hitter strikes out sometimes.
Family man.
Lindsay swung for the fences there.
Are you proposing to me, Syphilis Bear?
You know what? Well, hey, Andy, what if we just went off into the mountains and we started a family man?
I mean, look, I don't believe in marriage. Let's keep the government out of it. But sure.
Maybe you could start a family band.
It is interesting to me that you refuse a hug, but you're going to go start a family with this bear.
Andy is what he is.
Yeah, yeah. You know what?
Don't try to figure me out. I'm a family man.
Family man.
Oh, it's so stupid.
Hey, Travis.
Yes, sir.
Are you a clamly man?
Whoa! Now
that is a deep cut.
That's a real deep cut for us and maybe three people that were at Coral Cafe one night.
I do miss
Andy
Coral
and
Cafe.
I have had I think we're coming up on 10 years of, because wasn't that like in 2014 we started that?
The clam business? Yeah, I think so.
We have had a 10-year pun off with each other with clams, where just at any point one of us will text, like, oh, hey, have you seen that new horror movie where like they go and try to find a serial killer, Silence of the Clams? Like, we'll just nonstop just try to set each other up for 10 years.
And we'll do it. I love it when we do it in ways that the other doesn't see coming.
Not at all.
to this day, one of the funniest things I've ever seen on Instagram. There was a picture of Brandon Flowers from The Killers holding a seashell to his ear. And the caption said, "Now she's falling asleep and I'm calling a clam."
I love that. That's good.
That's great.
We haven't heard from Stevie Nicks in a while. I just noticed that.
Is she okay?
Yeah,
she
I mean.
Look, she was in the RV.
Does she only have three songs on this?
She only has three songs on the record. And one of them is her and someone else wrote it.
That was Seven Wonders, wasn't it?
Yeah. Seven Wonders is co-written.
Yeah, this is Welcome to the Room, Sarah.
I really love what she does with her singing, like, cadence in this song.
Yeah.
So, allegedly, this is about her going to the Betty Ford Center?
Yeah.
To overcome her cocaine addiction?
Yeah.
Sarah, I think, was the name she checked in.
Yeah, Sarah Bump.
Sarah Bump here. But I've also heard Sarah was the name of the baby she was pregnant with.
Oh, God.
Because that song Sarah on Tusk.
Yeah.
Like, we never really talked about it much, but that song is alleged to be about her aborting Don Henley's baby.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah, but I think she has come out since and said that's not entirely true, but the part where she aborted Don Henley's baby is very true. That she has talked about. But now I don't know if she's ever... I think it was Don Henley.
I really don't want to make jokes about that, but my brain has other plans.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone from the Eagles shouldn't have kids, probably
all of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Timothy Schmidt was fine, right? Sang I Can't Tell You Why. That's secretly maybe my favorite Eagles song. That song fucking slaps. And it's like one of the few Timothy B. Schmidt sings. Was there another Timothy Schmidt? Like, why do I know that guy as Timothy B. Schmidt?
Because it's like
Michael Jordan and Michael B. Jordan. Another one of the funniest things I've ever seen on the internet was a tweet that just said the B in Michael B. Jordan stands for basketball. I told that to Aaron Covington, who was one of the screenwriters of Creed, and he texted Michael B. Jordan and told him about it. I was like, whoa, shit, give me your phone. He didn't.
How did that go over with the...
He blocked him?
Yeah, they're not friends anymore. He's canceled. All right, up next, Isn't It Midnight?
It's also about a Don Henley abortion.
Jeez. Yeah, because if you're going to have an eagle baby, you might as well just be Joe Walsh, right?
Eagle baby! Eagle baby.
Just fucking hatches from a shell. Stevie Nicks face in a fucking eagle body.
And now I want to start a band called Don Henley Abortion.
Oh my God. I thought you were going to say Eagle Baby.
This is probably the most dated sounding song.
I still fucking love it though.
Yeah, it's good, but this really sounds like the 80s.
Yeah. Well, it's got that... I would say it's got that datedness of the 80s to it that's just going to come with anything that kind of, I mean, it's still not like, it's dated in the way that, like, you know, Mike and the Mechanics is dated, but it's still like, you listen to it, you're like, it's still great.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what you're thinking is like the verse is in E Aeolian mode, but then the bridge and the chorus are in B Aeolian mode. And it's like, ugh, yeah, that's a weird progression.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I knew it. I could see the look on your face.
Yeah. I was actually mouthing the words as you were saying.
Right. Too.
People can't see that at home.
Yeah. It's like minor. You know, first chord, and then you go into the flat seventh chord. It's just a weird mm-hmm, weird mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. It's doing that the thing there.
Yeah,
I don't talk about music that way. I don't like label notes and chords and things. I'm more of a feels guy.
Yeah, so you're a vibe.
Yeah
Adam is a vibe.
Uncle Vibes.
Uncle Vibes was the first single off of Eagle Baby.
Uncle Vibes is what Olivia Rodrigo calls Billy Joel.
What? That'd be more fact. Like Grandpa Vibe.
Fact. Well, I mean, she can't call him Daddy Vibes. That would be...
No, you really can't do that.
Can't do that.
I don't know. Uncle Vibes sounds kind of worse.
A little bit. She probably just means he's drunk a lot.
And also, dude, it's not like a blood uncle. It's just like the family vibe, right?
Yeah.
Like they're not really related. Yeah, this does... I'm agreeing with both of you. It both feels dated, but also, I don't mind it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be on the Top Gun soundtrack.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's another montage song.
Yeah.
But it's like a different kind of montage.
It's a driving in the dark, yeah. You know?
Yeah,
it's we got to get to the place kind of thing, yes.
Yeah.
I got a phone call. I guess that's one of the hazards of doing Bluetooth on your phone. I forgot to turn off notification.
Just answer the phone and go, isn't it midnight? Really confuse them. Yeah.
I love it.
That Lindsay.
Yeah. Love it.
Sorry. Yeah. Just a fadeaway jump shot of a guitar solo.
Yeah.
And like the kids just stole the big rig and they're driving through the midnight desert, right? In the movie?
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Blackwood Distilling. Blackwood Distilling was created in 2020 after co-founder Guinness McFadden won the 2019 Kentucky Derby with Country House at 65-1 odds. McFadden then parlayed his Blackwood Farms horse farm into Blackwood Distilling, with the help of the Justins of Justin's House of Bourbon in Lexington and Louisville. Together, they bottled a barrel-strength Kentucky bourbon that harkened back to the heyday of Kentucky's spirit in the 1950s and 60s with a deep, creamy body, soft barrel spices, and balance that exudes strength, warmth, with that iconic hint of vanilla lurking underneath it all. Alongside the bourbon, they also created America's first triple barrel finished toasted rye whiskey at barrel strength by using toasted barrels from Kelvin Cooperage. Batch 4 of the bourbon and batch 3 of the rye, along with single barrels of each, are hitting shelves in Kentucky and Florida now, and Texas in August, with more states coming soon. Please visit blackwooddistillingco.com to see where you can find and buy Blackwood toasted bourbon and toasted rye right now. Just hit that shop button. Thanks. Let's get back to the podcast. Up next, When I See You Again.
Yeah, they got to go stop the secret whatever. I lost it. Yeah. I was like trying to chase an 80s movie narrative, and it got away from me.
No, it's called Stevie, The Secret. Stevie. It's called The Secret Whatever. That's what they have to stop.
Oh, there's that quality of her voice that Lindsay made fun of in that one song.
The vibrato, yeah. Do you think she's doing that on purpose because it's a song with Lindsay that she's just like, oh, you don't like it when I do this? Now I'm going to do it. I heard your fucking song, asshole. Because I sing on it.
This does sound like a Nick's in trouble. Like a Nick's having a tough time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I hate to say it, but like that's one of the things that makes it my favorite record of theirs. Is that Stevie comes across as such a tragic figure in this entire album.
Yeah.
But she's still so good. Like, I love that. It sounds like she's been crying for 3 days straight and then just started singing.
And it also sounds like she's going to tell Carol Ann to not go into the light.
And again, Carol Ann doesn't listen.
Yeah, no.
Andy, you coming to Friendsmas?
I'm sorry, the what now?
We're having a Friendsmas thing Saturday. Travis.
Yeah, sure. I'll be there.
Thanks.
Yeah, come on out, dude. Yeah. I'll give you a ride if you get into town.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's that caveat. I was like, yeah, sure. I'll give you my address. Come get me. We'll stop at Taco John's on the way. Mm-hmm. We'll get some potato olays for the party.
Love a Taco John's.
Ugh. Fuck, now I want Taco John's for lunch.
You lucky bastard. You can just go out and get it.
Not really. The nearest one is still pretty far away. I mean, it's not, obviously it's not as far from you, but it's like a 30-40 minute drive probably.
Is there even one in California?
No. Yeah. No, I don't think there is. But you guys have Del Taco and I don't have Del Taco.
I do fuck
that,
with Del
that
Taco.
Can't be the same thing.
It's not, because Taco John's has those potato olays.
Potato olays, yeah.
Which are just like, they're just round hash browns, but they put seasoning on them, and then you can get this spicy nacho cheese to dip them in. And Travis, let me tell you.
Man, you guys are not doing terrific wonders for how hungry I am at this moment.
Yeah, so I can eat.
Is it tater tots? Is that what you're talking about?
They're
like the hash browns at Burger King.
Yeah.
Okay. Like
the little round disc guys.
But they're smaller.
No, they're about that same size.
Yeah, about like,
yeah, like quarter size maybe.
Yeah.
Like the size of a quarter, not quarter the size of a Burger King hash brown. And
glad you cleared that up.
Yeah. And it's the nacho cheese. That's the killer.
Mm, when I see you again, potato olays. Mm.
I could put away a 6-pack and a pound back in my prime.
Ooh.
I don't think I could. I couldn't get all that down now. But
well, you were an athlete, you know?
Back when I was really eating at like a Michael Phelps level.
Sure.
I could throw down 6 of those tacos and a pound of potato olays. No problem.
Damn. I bet these Mexican donut bites. What's that about?
I bet they're good.
They are.
I bet they're like little churros, probably.
Yeah. They taste like little fried little churros. Yeah. Oh,
man, you guys. All right. I gotta focus up here.
I'll tell you, when I went to see Godzilla Minus One, I stopped at Taco John's near the theater, got myself a couple tacos, potato olays, and then went and saw Godzilla Minus One in IMAX, and it was like probably the best day I've had all year.
Yeah. Oh, okay, fine. I thought we had fun at Paisley Park.
No, okay. It goes Paisley Park, and then probably day 2 of the Nightmares Film Fest, and then the Spook Show day.
Sure.
And then Godzilla Minus One and Taco
John. Yeah, I was going to say the Spook Show day too.
Yeah.
And at no point does SB and the boys make a dent in that
list? That's day five.
Okay.
That's day five. That's right after Godzilla Minus One and the Taco John.
Recency bias much, Travis? Oh, also, everybody, this song is called You and I, Part 2.
No, it's about me and Syphilis Bear.
Yeah, it's true.
Where's You and I Part One? No idea. I like the bands boarded.
Wow.
Yeesh.
I don't know why I'm spicy today.
It's a bit more than spicy. That's straight up do not ingest.
Yeah, do we know where You and I Part One is? Is that ever explained? I haven't looked into it.
I took this to be like you're trying. We're trying to date again. Let's try and be a couple again.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So he's not just like fucking with us like the Traveling Wilburys when they made their second album first. Which is one of the funniest things.
Yeah, this isn't a Leonard Part 6
thing. I was just going to do the Leonard Part 6 thing. This is why we're friends. This is why we're close friends.
Hell yeah, buddy.
You and I.
So
this is another song that sounds kind of dated, but like not in a bad way.
So this is the last song on the album, unless you're listening to the remastered version on Apple Music, which there's a lot, including this song. This is probably, unless there's like a bonus song either of you want to listen to, this is probably the only one that stands out because it's the closest to a fully formed song. It's not like a demo. It's not like an alternate take.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't know this song.
It's called Down Endless Street, and it's the first of the bonus tracks on the remastered version of Tango in the Night.
Oh, okay. So apparently, You and I Part One was a B-side when Big Love was released as a single.
Oh.
Single, apparently, is how you pronounce that word. Yeah, single.
I'll have to go.
Oh, and there's an instrumental track called Book of Miracles.
Yeah, I think that is on here also. Weirdly, You and I Part One, not on here.
Nowhere to be found.
That is very strange. I like this song a lot. I like the weird, like it sounds like circus organ music.
Yeah. It was released, this was as a B-side to Family Man.
Oh.
I like this better than Family Man.
Oh, I like this way better than Family Man.
Yeah.
For one thing, there's no one going, a Family Man, on it.
Oh. Down Endless Street.
Yeah, this is way better than Family Man. Come on, get it together.
I feel like that happens with Fleetwood Mac, where it's like they leave a song off and put another song on that's fine. But you're like, you'd put this on and it'd have been perfect.
Yeah, Oasis was good about that too. Like, those B-sides from the era of their first two or three albums, infinitely better than a lot of the stuff that's on those albums.
Don't know what it is about British Britpop bands, but they just love to put out basically an album's worth of B-sides for every album they put out.
I remember back when bands were doing that thing where if you bought the CD at Target, it had bonus tracks.
If you bought it
at Walmart, they had different tracks. The band Block Party put out their second album, which is called Weekend in the City, I believe. And they did that. And that album was considered kind of a disappointment. And the worst part about it was if you cobbled together those bonus songs, it was an infinitely better album. Like, those bonus songs made so much better. Because people, like, bootlegged it and put it out that way. Right. And called it Another Weekend in the City. And it's way better than A Weekend in the City.
There's a lot of like Bone Con from that era that's just lost media because it doesn't mm-hmm. show up places.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a bummer.
We had a friend of mine in college made a CD of all like unreleased Mighty Mighty Boss Tones songs. Or released only on comps and stuff.
Yeah, I did that with Oasis, Nirvana.
Yeah.
Who else? Maybe just those two. Radiohead. Like in those early days of Napster, man, you could find anything.
Yeah, yeah.
It was great.
Does this, I don't have the bonus edition in front of me. Does this have the any of the other three songs that Stevie Nicks contributed that were cut?
Can you name them?
What has Rock and Roll Ever Done for You?
Nope.
Ooh, My Love.
Let's listen to Ooh, My Love.
Which I guess she put on her solo album.
Yeah, with... she's got a bunch of stuff that made its way to solo albums that started as Fleetwood Mac.
Is Joan of Arc on there?
I don't think so.
Nope. Okay.
There's a song called Ricky. It's about boys in the hood. Zigzag, Ricky.
That's Christine McVie's B-side from the album.
Ricky?
Yeah. She's a huge Boys in the Hood fan, Christine McVie.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is a demo, because it... It seems like she's just barely singing this.
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing, is that she had three songs she wrote for the album in addition to the three that they actually used, and none of them were used. So this probably either demo versions of stuff or stuff that's never been released. Because I mean, maybe Joan of Arc's just never been released. And same with What Has Rock and Roll Ever Done for You? Which that's a great title.
Yeah,
I love that. That was the song she must have wrote when she was thinking about quitting to become a ballerina. In this land, or that land where the castles all seem to be.
Well, this is interesting. There is a version of What Has Rock and Roll Ever Done for You that is by Dolly Parton featuring Stevie Nicks.
Whoa.
And also, What Has Rock and Roll Ever Done for You is on the YouTubes.
Okay.
Let's find it.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely parts where it's like, you're gonna have to use a different take for that. Like there.
We'll listen to What Has Rock and Roll Ever Done for You after this, and then we'll probably wrap it up.
I like the, I don't know, chugging background of the music.
I feel like you just can't ever go wrong if John McVie is playing bass.
Yeah, he is a really underrated aspect of that band.
Well, I know we're not getting into like the production of this album, but like he hadn't played the bass in 5 years. He'd been sailing the ocean.
That's right.
I didn't play bass at all, and we got back into the studio, and he was like, I don't even know if I know how to play anymore. He was like having this existential crisis.
That's like punk rock, though. Yeah. Where in the world did you come from?
Yeah, it's when she was in Green Day.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say. Stevie Nicks, original front woman for Green Day.
All right. This is What Has Rock and Roll Ever Done for You? Oh, boy.
Now,
this is a Dolly Parton song? This isn't the one with Dolly Parton. This is her own.
No, this is. The video says it's from the Rock a Little sessions. So this probably isn't even Fleetwood Mac. It's probably
Yeah, her in a different backing band. I guess I can see why this didn't make the cut.
Yeah, yeah.
This has like one of those like sports songs kind of thing. Like
this is this is Sunday Night Football. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wonder who this is about. Because when she says, what has rock and roll ever done for you? Then she says, what's it ever done for me? And she goes, everything. I don't know if you caught that.
No, I didn't. I was Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, this does sound like...
All my rowdy friends are coming over tonight.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it does sound a lot like I Hate Myself for Loving You by Joan Jett.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it does kind of sound like she's talking to herself a little bit here.
Yeah.
Which we know she likes to do.
She says answer the question into a mirror and then just waits for the reflection to say something.
Well, I think I brought it up when we were doing some Tusk stuff, but Sisters of the Moon is her talking to herself.
Tusk yeah. stuff. That's what elephants call third base.
Oh, God.
Sorry, what did you say?
It's not important.
It is. I'm sorry.
It's not going to top Tusk stuff being third base for elephants.
Yeah. Set a pretty high bar there.
You!
You! Ooh! Everything! Uh-huh.
Probably shouldn't.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta drive. Okay, let's get you to the RV, Stevie.
I like how she's like, I'll have a... another glass of something fresh. Champagne. Oh, okay. Because we were going to bring you like a sparkling water or something.
And, we're going to bring you like orange juice that we just squeezed because it's very fresh. Champagne technically has been aging for some time now, actually.
Not very fresh.
Champagne, yeah.
To be fair, champagne is just code for cocaine.
Ah. Yeah, yeah. And they just bring it out in slow motion to her while
seeing yeah, chariots of fire. Yeah.
Yeah, I get why this wasn't on Tango in the Night.
If this song was on Tango in the Night, I would be like, there's one bad song on Tango in the Night.
You know, if they would not have included this, it would have been perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a
it
good
It would
song.
Really make you overlook the family band. Like, you'd be like, nah, it's just not as bad as this.
Yeah.
Family man.
That is a long fade. Too.
She's still.
We still got 15 yeah. seconds to go.
She's still asking herself.
So I think that's our episode, right?
Nah, let's listen to "Isn't It Midnight" again.
Yeah, I don't have any tangos left in me in the day or night.
Yeah, yeah.
Sun's coming up.
So thank you both for listening to Tango in the Night. On the next episode, we're going to talk about Tango in the Night. It's going to be a little bit harder research. There's no Ken Calais book for me to consult.
What the fuck, Ken? Get on it, dude.
Yeah, I don't think he was involved in that album.
So it doesn't mean he can't write a book about it. I wasn't involved in a lot of shit that I'm going to write books about.
That's true.
I do have a Fleetwood Mac book that I paid like $40 for. It's like one of those giant coffee table books. And there's a bunch of shit about Tango in the Night in there. So
hell yeah,
we'll figure it out. There's it info like a, out there. I mean, we've already like a, talked about some of it. So
yeah, but is it like a photo book?
No, it's remember the Beatles when they put out.
Yeah, they were a band.
Never heard of them.
Yeah,
They put out that anthology series, and part of it was that a gigantic coffee table book, which I read cover to cover. Fucking maniac. So yeah, we're talking about Tango in the Night on the next episode. It's a good fucking album, as witnessed by everyone just now. We listened to it. You witnessed it with your listening eyes.
Yeah. And you got to witness it for the first time with a conversation about Taco John's potato Olays over two of the songs. So you're welcome.
Right. Which that'll keep us from getting sued, everybody.
Taco John's will keep you from getting sued. Wait, that's probably going to get us sued.
Do take legal advice from us. We are lawyers.
Yeah, and Taco John's. Like, any place you get tacos, they have to give you free legal advice. I don't know if people know that.
Yeah. The nacho cheese, on the other hand, you got to pay a little extra for that. They do
Taco
charge you for the nacho
John cheese. Esquire.
So, thank you both. What do we have to plug before we get out of here? AdamTodBrown.substack.com. Go read my writings and give me money for it. What else do we got?
Marvel Move. And if you want to listen to an audiobook, Stone's Throw by RJ Jagger.
Andy
and also Man. Taco John's. Taco John's. I got to plug Taco John's.
Yeah.
Andy Man.
I don't think I have anything.
Maybe a band. Maybe there's a band.
Oh yeah, check out SB and the Boys. Mm. Hug Andy. Their new single, debut single, actually. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, that's it. That's all I got. Looking for the boys. Call your reps. Fucking whatever. Get some Taco John's, baby.
Hell
potato
yeah.
Potato Olays.
Let's get out of here. I got to take a taco piss. Travis, say goodbye.
Taco piss.
Andy, say goodbye.
Taco piss.
Goodbye, everybody. Taco piss.